Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're continuing with my favorite subject in the Bible called the sovereignty of God. People say, well, do we like sovereignty? Well, I want you to know that this doctrine is not a peripheral doctrine for me. This is my life. And my prayer is that this becomes your life, for you to really, truly understand it. Because until you understand God as sovereign, you do not understand God. There's only two approaches in theology. It's either the will of God, or it's the will of man. That's it. It all comes down to that. Let me ask you a question. If you know Christ as your Savior, why are you saved? What makes you different? What's the cause of you being saved? Right now, where would you go in your mind to being the cause? Would you say, well, this preacher gave me the gospel, and I heard it, and I understood it, I saw my need for salvation, I didn't want to burn in hell, and I chose to believe. People will say that. And if all of us really think about it, we'll say that we made the choice, right? We did. We chose. We have a will. We have choices. Do you agree with that? The Bible says we have a will and we have choices. But the question behind that is, what was the cause behind you choosing? What was the cause? Why did you choose? Was it independent of God? Was there no superintendence going on in your mind? Could you say there was nothing acting upon me? I did it independently, freely. I chose. There was nothing that caused me to believe. Can you say that? Come on, give me some feedback. You can't. They can't. You know why you can't say it? Because you're not all-knowing. The only one that can make a statement like that to say, there was nothing operating on my will, would be the one who has all knowledge. Who agrees with that? Isn't that logical? The only way you can say that is that you have all knowledge, nothing operated upon you. But I can't tell you what the Scripture says. Psalm 65. You were in Psalms earlier, right? Turn with me to Psalm 65 and look at verse 4. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 65. Psalm at the very middle of your Bibles. Open your Bible at the very middle of your Bibles, Psalms. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Raise your hand when you got it. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Raise your hand when you got it. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm's very middle of your Bible. It makes it a while to write these verses down. Psalm 65 and verse 4. What does it say? Blessed, say it with me out loud. Blessed is the man you choose and what? And cause to approach you. So what does that verse tell us? God did the choosing. Is that what it says? Can't get any clearer than that. God chose you, and what's the cause of you coming to God? What's it say? And what? And cause to approach you. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you. So who's the cause? God is the cause. The most wonderful news you could ever hear in your life, that you had nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing. You say, well, I chose. Well, who gave you the choice? Well, I had faith. Who gave you the faith? in Philippians 1:29, to us is granted not only to suffer for his sake, but also to believe on him. So it says that we have been granted, through the finished work of Christ, we've been granted belief as a gift of the cross work of Christ, to believe upon him. That's our faith is not our faith. Does that make sense? You can't even claim that. Well, my belief. You can't claim any of it. And why are we adamant about this? Why are we adamant about it? Because what do we want to do? What should Christians want to do? Give God, say it with me, all the what? The praise, the glory, and the honor go to him alone. Nothing to us. Who wants that? If you want that, you will become a sovereigntist. The title of this, I have this title in your new sheet there, is God Sovereign Over All Things or Just Some Things? See how this sheet is lopsided? Did anybody see that? It's lopsided. God's sovereign over that. God had to come out lopsided. Now, is anybody responsible for that? Yes, I am. I'm the one that put it in the machine wrong. So I'm responsible for it. God ordained it. It came out wrong because I didn't pay attention. Is God sovereign over all things or just some things? Give me some feedback. Come on, give me some feedback. You sure? Come on, are you really sure? All things. I mean, you being right where you're seated right now? Is he sovereign over where you're sitting? Really? I mean, didn't you make the choice to sit down? Didn't you choose? Come on, tell me. Didn't you choose? Please say, yes, I chose. But God gave me this what? This choice. God decreed all my choices. So you're sitting there, but the only reason you're sitting there is because God ordained it. There's no other reason. How sovereign is your God? Is that a good question to ask someone? How sovereign is your God? How sovereign is your God? Because God's going to bring problems into your life. Anybody dealing with problems at all right now? You say, no, I'm not. Well, just hang on. You will. They're coming. You've got problems. Anybody ever dealt with any marital problems? Debbie and I have. Frustrations. When Debbie found out that I was not perfect, then we started having problems. What? I'm not perfect? When she discovered I was a sinner and she was a sinner, then friction started happening in our relationship. And then God brought both of us to the grace of God, to be gracious with each other. What problems are you going through right now? Come on, tell me. What's happening? Any financial problems? Depression, any block goals, any contracts haven't gone through this week? Anybody misunderstand you? Any disappointments this week at all? Anything that you just said, it shouldn't have gone this way. I don't like this. Come on, what's happening? Anything like that at all? God is dedicated to frustrating you. To drive you to what? It's His will. And for you to say what? And everything. Lord, I thank you for this because I need it to humble me. Amen? To cause me to be dependent. To cause me to get on my knees. Who needs to get on your knees more? I do. Let's take the rest of the sermon just on our knees. Let's just get on our knees and listen to this sermon. That's where we all belong. Who agrees with that? Constantly in a state of what? Oh, God. Crying out. Things are going great. The money's coming in. Wow, life's awesome. The American dream. You know what this country needs? We need what Israel happened to Israel. It's take us off to Babylon. What we need is a good dose of slavery. A good dose to take away all of our freedoms. To bring us to what? God! Amen. To scream out to Him and think about Him. You know what my problem is? I got wrapped up in the American dream. Too much in that. not enough and constantly worshiping God. I watch TV. Need to start turning this off more. Who agrees? Is it possible to go one day without this thing? Come on, talk to me. Is it possible? One, I don't know. Let's have a withdrawal program. Is it possible to not have this for one day? Would it be a good idea to encourage all of us? Let's have one day we don't watch TV. Would that be a good idea? Give me some feedback. Just one day. We get into relationships and we come in, we walk the door, where's the TV? I got to turn it on. Right? Got to have the TV on. How about just one day we turn it off and we get to know each other and have a Bible open and we just read and talk to each other. Is that a good thing? And start really thinking about what's really important. Is your life a TV? Got to watch my show! Does that give you the peace? When you get through with the show, what have you got? I'm a better person! Really? I got to see that movie! And you walk out. Man! I'm now complete! I saw Gone with the Wind! The Lord is doing what? The way things are going in this country, if we went into some major persecution, I would not be shocked. Who agrees with that? I would not be shocked. We deserve massive punishment from God. Who agrees with that? In Germany, right before Nazi Germany came in with Hitler, Hitler was not the cause of the demise of Germany. The country was ripe for Hitler. It was ripe for two reasons. You ready? What was the fall of Germany? Two reasons. The pulpits and your universities. That was the fall of Germany. Your ministers left the Word of God, and universities went into a higher criticism. Your pulpit, excuse me. Your pulpits, excuse me, taught German higher criticism. People say that, excuse me, if you were educated, you're going to be successful as a people, as a nation. You're not going to have problems. Germany was one of the most educated nations in America. Because of Luther and the Reformation, they were a Christian nation. More scientists, more brilliant people came out of that country than any place in the world at that time. But guess what? Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and the testimony, Isaiah said, to the law and the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, there is no light in them, no truth in them. Your pulpits, the ministers, your seminaries, and universities left the Word of God, and they kicked God out of the churches and the universities, all the whole school system. It was ripe for Nazi Germany. Does that make sense? We're right now, I believe with all my soul, into pre-Nazi Germany. We're ripe for everything to come unglued in this country. Do I know it's going to happen? No. God could turn things around, and God willing, it'd be wonderful to see a revival. Who agrees? Have another whole reformation take place in this country. It'd be wonderful. And that's what our goal is here at our assembly. Is to train people up, give them the light, so we would have a reformation. But right now, we're under judgment. This is a Christless, godless nation. This nation hates Christ. We have a government that hates Christ. We have a governmental school system that hates Christ. It's against the law to have the Bible in our public school system. Is there a message in that for us? This is a wicked nation. This nation has forgot God. And so, if we're all carried off into slavery, we don't want to go, how could this happen? It's the incredible long-suffering God that the hammer has not already dropped. Who agrees with that? Amazing long-suffering and patience of our God. How sovereign is your God? How sovereign is He? If God were to do what He did with Israel, took them off to Babylon, what did God tell those? What did He tell those Hebrew children? He says, "Go with them." Right? Who remembers this? Go. Don't resist it. It's my will to take you off to Babylon to discipline you. Go with them. If you stay there, you'll be killed if you stay here in Jerusalem. Go with them, and I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. I'll take care of your children. I'll provide for you. Go. Come under the discipline. So God took care of them in the midst of a foreign nation taking them off into captivity. So if God were to do that to us, what do we want to do? Fall apart? We want to say what? God's will be done. Amen? And He's got this ordained for me to grow through this. How sovereign is your God? If the Holy Spirit so wills to illuminate your mind on the whole counsel of God concerning the sovereignty of God, then, dear Christian, you will receive a new scriptural understanding of the majesty and grandeur of God, sitting on His throne in heaven, ruling and reigning over all His creation. Moreover, through this mature biblical knowledge of God as a sovereign King who ordains all things that come to pass, both good and evil, then you will also understand why every moment is an occasion to give thanks and praise and worship the God of Holy Scripture. In addition, this knowledge alone, please circle that word, this knowledge alone, because there's no other doctrine that affords boundless comfort. So this doctrine alone, this knowledge alone, will afford you boundless comfort and peace in the midst of your, say it with me, greatest what? Losses. What's coming for you? Disappointments, misunderstandings, trials. This friend of mine that I know, known for many years, he woke up one morning and he had a note on his pillow that his wife said that I'm divorcing you. And guess what? She divorced him. And he never found out from the wife or the lawyer why she divorced him. Never found out. It just ripped his heart out. He said, "I had no idea." And she just left. One of the greatest things he had to deal with in his entire life. Terrible, terrible. After that, I went to see him in the hospital because he was in a fire. He had burns all over his face and all of his hands and all of his body. Burns so bad, he'd go in with scrapings to scrape this all the dead flesh off. And the pain was just excruciating. Every day he woke up with that pain. Lost his wife, then had burns all over his body. But guess what? He knew God ordained that for him. Isn't that awesome? That was his peace in the midst of all this. God didn't want her in my life. God took her out. The Lord gave, the Lord took away. This burns on my whole body. God wanted me to have scars on my face. It was no longer to have hands that look normal or a face that looks normal. To scar me. To do what? Humble me. Bring me to God. To cry out, "Thy will be done." Let Him do to me what seems best to me, what seems best to Him. 2 Samuel 15:26. Let Him do to me what seems good to Him. Say it with me, please. Let Him do to me what seems good to Him. Let Him do to me what seems good to Him. It's His will. You're His. You belong to Him. Peace in the midst of your greatest losses, disappointments, misunderstandings, trials, rejections, blocked goals, crushed dreams, financial setbacks, and deepest depression. Because in the throes of all these so-called strange things, you will know that there are no, what? Meaningless, mundane moments or chance accidental circumstances, but that all things are what? Necessary. Do you believe that? Come on, do you really? All things? All things are necessary. Do you really believe that? Think for a second. That's exactly what he says. All things are necessary. What about the sins you've done in your life? Was that necessary? Yes. The good things. What about the people that have been jerks to you? Terrible the way they treated you. Was that necessary? Yes. It was necessary. It had to happen. It was an eternal necessity to glorify God and for your good, your growth, you being conformed to the image of Christ. All things are necessary. All things are necessary because what? All things are what? Foreordained so that, you always got to say so that. Say it with me. When someone says something, you always say, okay, and so that. So, come on. So that. Always say so that at the end of it. We're talking about this, so that. What's your so that? What is it? So that all things will work together for the good of God's elect and for what? God the Father's glory. That's the ultimate. That's why you're here this morning. You're here for God the Father's glory. That's the reason, the ultimate reason. It's not about you, it's about Him. We benefit from it. Now, I'll come back to your notes we're giving you here. We'll read to you the same purpose statement, because it's still the same purpose statement. To learn from Scripture alone what it means, the bottom of page 1 on your notes here. Does everybody have this one? 1-9-11. Right? Does everybody have that? The bottom of the page, purpose statement. To learn from Scripture alone what it means that God is sovereign over all things, so that we will worship Him how?
Mature.
Who wants to mature? Do you really? You're not going to mature if you don't study. It's not going to happen. You're going to still stay as ignorant as you are today if you're not going to study. Whose responsibility is getting the Word? Please say it with me. My responsibility. If I'm not in the Word, can I tell y'all, can I teach you anything? If I'm not growing, how can I help you grow? It's not going to happen. The elders have got to grow. And you've got to grow. To learn from Scripture alone what it means that God is sovereign over all things, so that we will worship Him maturely and do what? Say that. Delight, say it with me out loud, and delight in Him every moment for His glory. Psalm 37 verse 4, what does David say? Watch this. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37, transposing my mind. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Please say it with me out loud. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Did have a seminar on that, right? Harv Eckert, his millionaire mind. I met Harv Eckert in California about 10 years ago, backstage, and he has his whole seminar on the millionaire mind. Paganism. It's all about greed. Money, 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 money. Everybody comes to these seminars for what? What's the purpose? Money. Money, money, money. If I have more of that, I'm going to be happy, successful. What does God say? What's his path for success? Say it with me out loud again. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What's the desires of your heart right now? What is it that you want? Don't say it out loud. Just tell me, what is it that you really want? That you really, really want? Time, more sleep? What is it that you really, really want? What is it? What you want? How are you going to get it? Say it with me out loud. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Let's look on the page 3, the bottom of page 3 on your notes there. We've been looking at some of these all things. Does everybody have it? Bottom of page 3. Where it says, every step that a person takes has been what? Ordained by God's sovereign plan. Is that really true? Every step? Anybody ever bought one of those little, what do you call it, step-o-meters or step-o-monitors, wherever it is? You put it on your side and you walk. Debbie used to have one of those. I'd watch her, pardon? Speedometer. What's it called? Pedometer. Thank you. Thank you. Pedometer. Ped foot, right? So you get this, you're walking around like this. You get through the end of the day and you're walking all around here, going over this, look at the steps. Man, 5,600 steps. They're what the Christian want to say. All those are ordained by God. Amen? Every one of those steps. Now, do we have scripture on this or just something we just hyped over? That's a cool thing to say, but is it truth? Is this truth? We dare not say this if it's not true. Who agrees? We're liars. But it's not true. Give me book, chapter, verse. Proverbs 20:24. Please say it with me out loud. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Well, I know all about my life. You've ordained your steps. Can you believe that verse? A man's steps are of the Lord. Is that, could that be taken literally? Literally. I mean, steps. All the steps you've had in your life, guess what they are? They are of God. Turn the page. Jeremiah 10:23. It's one of my favorite verses. Right, John?
Yes.
What does Jeremiah cry out? Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. That's a death blow to free will. Who agrees? Free will is a myth. Who heard that? Guess what? People hate your guts for that. They hate you. Despise you. You get kicked out of churches, seminaries, Bible colleges by saying there's not one verse in the Bible that teaches free will. It does not exist. It's blasphemy. Because when you're saying man has free will, guess what you've just done? You've just breached the Godhead and become another God. The only one that's possible, scripturally, logically, philosophically, to have an independent will, a free will. What do we mean by free? Say it with me. Independent. Come on, say it. What's free? Independent. The only one that can't have an independent will is God. God is the only one with the free will. Man cannot have it. He cannot. Because you say my will is free, guess what you're saying? It's independent of God. I am free from God. And then what do you want to say after that? I am a blasphemer. That's what you want to say. Because you've just turned yourself into what? Say it with me. God. I am God. Oh Lord, I know, Jeremiah says, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to do what? To direct his steps. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned. That word fashioned means in the Greek, in the Hebrew, means ordained. This is New King James Version. And the NIV, if you have an NIV translation, they translate it properly. On the authority of the Hebrew grammar, this is the word for ordained. The days ordained for me. Yet, as yet there were none of them. The NIV says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Say it with me out loud. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Do you believe this is an ordained day? Folks, it's the only reality. There's no other reality. It's ordained reality. It can only be ordained because it's created. It's a created reality. Everyone's moment by moment existence is sustained by God's sovereign will alone. I love this. Job 34:13. This is continuing with the all things. So the sustaining of our moment by moment existence. Who gave him charge over the earth? Who did? Who gave him charge? Who said, that's okay, you can have it, it's yours? You ever heard the expression, when I was in high school, people, I was in the same, and listen, we got to be quiet now. Well, who died and left you in charge? You ever heard that? Who's put you in charge? Shut up, Jack, you're just one of us. You're a kid. Who do you think you are? Who gave him, Job 34:13, Elihu says, who gave him charge over the earth, talking to Job? Or who appointed him over the whole world? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, don't you love this? All flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. There's a movie. What's that one movie where there's a moment in time, there's a blank out, everybody just passes out and they fall? It was a TV series. Blank, or what was the name of the TV show? You're drawing a blank, right? But it showed everybody all the whole world at the same time. Everybody just fell to the ground. That's what would happen. It's got take the breath back. Who knows you're being sustained? Come on, talk to me. Do you really believe you're being sustained? Really sustained? How does that go a little deeper in this? Can everybody say yes? Come on, we'll go a little deeper, okay? I'm going to take you a little deeper, okay? Ready? Hold on, buckle up. Here we're going to go deeper in the saga. Ready? Got a paper for you. Okay, this first paper. Look at the very middle of this one, okay? This is Jonathan Edwards. Guess what he says? Watch. Get this paper, the first one I gave you, right? The first sheet right here. It has the opening statement of the sermon. Guess what Jonathan Edwards says in the very middle. Watch this. Before I read it, can I tell you this? Set you up for this. Watch. Let me tee you up. Watch. Sustained, Jonathan Edwards says, he really deduces it out to its ultimate. He goes into continuous creation and he says about the thoughts. He asks the question, the thought you're thinking, where does it come from? And who sustains it? Where's the next thought coming from? Good thought. Who agrees? Making us think. Let's read this. Ready? This is from Jonathan Edwards. The mere exertion of a new thought is proof of the existence of a God. Dr. Clark would not agree with that statement because he's not starting from Scripture. But watch what he says. Continues. For certainly, there is something that immediately produces and upholds that thought. Amen? What produces it? Where did it come from? Guess what? Those are your thoughts, and that's your mind, and those thoughts, that's your identity. That's you. That's been chosen for you, ordained for you. That's you. And you can only think those thoughts. You're not choosing your thoughts. Who heard that? You're not choosing it. They're chosen for you. Everything you'll ever think for eternity. From this moment, from the moment you were conceived, Psalm 51:5, guess what David said? In sin, my mother, means he was a sinner. In sin doesn't mean that sex is sinful. In sin, my mother conceived me. There was a me at conception. Hold on. A me. There is a whole mind, the whole image of God at conception. But for 20 seconds, you're only one cell. One cell for 20 seconds. There's a me thinking. Since we're made in the image of God, God is self-conscious. Who agrees with that? God is eternally self-conscious. A being that is not self-conscious is a contradiction in terms. A consciousness that is not self-conscious is a contradiction in terms. Does that make sense? A consciousness that is not self-conscious is a contradiction in terms. At the moment we were conceived, we were conscious. Thinking. Thinking what? Thoughts. We were persons. Not brains. Because you don't need a brain to think. Brains are never thought. Brains don't think. Brains can't think. It's a tool. Your brain's never fell apart. Your eyes have never seen anything. Someone's home. I'm looking at Andre. Hi, Andre. But Andre is in here. This is his... He's got a nice house. But this is not Andre. He's inside. It's what's thinking. Those thoughts. That's Andre. And those thoughts have been created, and according to what he believes in continuous creation, they're constantly created by Jesus Christ. All of it is created. It's a life that's given to you moment by moment. This moment is brought to you by the Trinity. Amen? This moment is brought to you by the Trinity. Boom, 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 boom. Watch this. Hold on to this. You are a person. What's a person? Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are your thoughts. What's the definition of personhood? Thoughts. Your thoughts. Who is God? God is his thoughts. Has ever thought of his thoughts? God has not chosen his thoughts. Your thoughts have always been in the mind of God from eternity. And it's you. You have an eternal identity. You did not create anything. Who agrees? You create nothing. Nothing. You're not a creator. You're clay. You're made. It's being made as we speak. The thoughts. Watch what he says again. Watch. For certainly there is something that immediately produces and upholds that thought. Here is a new thing. And there is a necessity of a cause. Everybody reading with me? It is not antecedent thoughts, in other words, the thoughts you just had before that created the thoughts you have right now. There's nothing before. He says that it's not antecedent thoughts, for they are vanished. They're gone. The thought you just had is gone. What replaces it with another thought? Christ. Amen? Christ. He does it. Look at this. For they are past. And what is past, what does he say? It's what? Who's going to say to me, I don't deserve to hear this kind of stuff? I deserve to hear this. Because what's his Edwards' goal? To glorify the Father. To give God all the glory. You're thinking every bit of it, it's God, His glory. I've got to read you a couple more verses with this. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the what? Say it. The clay. And you, our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Oh, I love Isaiah 10:15. Everybody ready for a little lesson in apologetics? Ready? Let me give you a lesson in apologetics. The apologetics in 1 Peter 3:15, we're commanded to give an answer to everyone to ask us of the confidence that we have in Christ. Who agrees with that? It's a command. Give a defense. And it's where we get our word for apologetics, apologia. It's not to apologize, but to give our argument, to set forth our argument. And I think one of the greatest ways of doing it is through, ready? Reducing our enemy's position to the absurd. Who heard that? It's called, ready for this? I'll give it to you later on when I have time to spell it and go through it. But it's called the apagogic argument. Please say it with me. The apagogic argument. Most people go like this. They hear a new word, they go like this. Ready? They tilt. They go, new word, big word. And they can't think, big word. Listen, it's a good thing to have people that have big words. Amen? That is no more than you do, they can teach you. That's why you go to school, to university, to the seminary. Watch. Apagogic simply means this. Ready? That you're showing there's no logic in what they're saying. In Latin, it's called reductio ad absurdum. To reduce to the absurd. Please say it with me. Reductio ad absurdum. To reduce to the absurd. It is the method, the greatest, the most advanced method of apologetics. To show someone the invalidity, the fallaciousness of their system of thinking, that you're wrong. It is error. This is error. This is wrong. This is sin in your thinking. Error. Error. This is not truth. So what system do we use in our apologetics? Please say it with me. Reductio, reduce it, please say it with me. Reduce it to the absurd. Apagogic argument. Why am I so strong with this? Because the Holy Spirit is going to teach us right now how to use it. Who'd like to learn this? The Holy Spirit takes your logic, and guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to take four words and use them as metaphors to deliver the death blow of free will. Who'd like to hear this? The death blow of free will. Debbie, could you please, in the bedroom, I forgot my... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think
so. Rub of the bed. Oh, yeah.
Dad.
My axe.
He likes to kill people.
Debbie, please, okay? Keep these things to ourselves. I am I've been studying Kung Fu for 43 years. I'm a master in Kung Fu, and with Debbie, I told her when we first got married, I said, don't sneak up on me or try to scare me. She said, why? I said, because I might kill you. So she said, thanks for the warning. So if you're ever in our house walking, if I'm in the bathroom, anywhere part of the house, she always says, I'm coming in the bathroom. I'm coming in the bedroom. I'm on the patio right now. Please love your wife. So she trained Janelle to do the same thing. So I have all these implements by my bed. I have guns, axes, samurai swords. I have all these tools by the bed. I said, if anyone ever breaks in the house, honey, because she laughs at this, all the stuff you have by the bed and the samurai swords and the guns and the Glocks and the Tauruses and all these and the shotguns and all this by our bed. I said, honey, five guys break in and you will say, I thank God that the Lord ordained my husband to want to protect me. Amen? So she went and got this axe, okay? The Holy Spirit uses four words. Let's put four words down, okay? Axe, saw, the rod, and staff. Please say it with me. Axe is right here in your notes. You don't have to write these down. They're all down. You don't have to write them down. They're right in the Word. It's in Isaiah 10:15. Ready? Say it with me. Axe, the saw, and the what? Rod and staff. Now watch. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit doing this? He's using what argument? Reducing what? To the absurd. If you can take anyone's philosophy and reduce it to the absurd, you've shown it is what? False. And they are your enemy. It's blasphemy. We don't have enough men in this country around the world that are into polemics. Polemics are different from apologetics. Apologetics is I'm giving an argument, you come and approach me, I give my argument for Christianity. Polemics is puts it in your face. Not in a caustic, mean-spirited way you're speaking the truth in love, but what it means, polemics, is you challenge their thinking. You put your books out, you write your rejoiners. You write a book that teaches against what Deepak Chopra says, and Dwayne Dyer, and Tony Robbins, and all these people out here that are sophists. You're modern-day sophists. They don't know no truth. But Christians are running to them. I went to a Christian friend of my home, and he had the 10 Spiritual Laws by Deepak Chopra. A Christian said he loves it. I'm sitting there, no. This was shaking and shaking. This is just, it's horrible. Why are you doing this? You know why? Because he has not been around anyone to teach him that's error. Amen? They don't know. So what is this argument? It's reducing to absurd. Listen to what he says. Isaiah 10:15. Watch. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops it? Look at this. Watch. I have one. Right? Look at this. I go pick it up. No. What? Don't pick me up. Well, I'm sorry. Not in the mood. Oh, okay. I'll go get something else. Can it boast it? Can it talk to me? Can it do anything? Can it do any boasting? If you notice all these tools, it's about the hand that's holding the tool. It's about the will of the hand that takes these work implements. The work implement has, it's passive.
It's being acted upon. It can do nothing in and of itself.
Who agrees?
That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to get in our mind. Free will doesn't exist.
Watch. Look what he says. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? How can it exalt itself? How can it pull itself up and say that, you know, I don't want to saw like that? You know, you're going back and forth. I'd rather just go just one stroke ahead. It can't exalt itself. Look at this. The next tool, the rod. As if a rod could wield itself, that means exert influence. That means have power over. Will means to have power over. It has influence over. As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up. Watch this. Look. Here we go. It's a cane. In Kung Fu, we have what's called cane arts. And what the Kung Fu masters do with this cane, it's devastating. They can take out a whole crowd of human beings just with a cane. They walk like this. You think, oh, look at that old man. Don't get near that old man. He knows to do some wicked things with that cane. Watch. Can the rod wield itself? Watch. I'm walking. The cane goes, oh! The cane can't hit me. The cane has no influence. It can't hit. It can't walk over here. It goes exactly where I put the cane. Who agrees? It has no influence. Look at the next thing he says. Look at this. He says, or as if they, what? Say it. Staff could lift up as if it were not wood. Look, here's, let's turn this into a staff. Look. Motivational seminar. Come on, get up! Can it move on its own? What can it do? What's the Holy Spirit teaching all of us? We're just like the axe, the saw, the rod, and the staff. Amen? Reducing it to the absurd. It has no will. Nothing of its own. And so if we do move, how are we moving? Can I tell you? Watch this. Omnipotent. Wow, let's look at your head moving. Can I tell you why your head's moving right now? Watch this. It's the power of God. Why is your heart beating right now? The power of God. Why are we breathing? Inhale. Exhale. Why? The power of God. Why is the sun? You go outside. How is it sustaining? It's amazing how it sustains itself. No, it doesn't. It's being spoken into existence. It's the omnipotence of God. So every moment of our life is an occasion to do what? Praise you, worship you, adore you. Oh my God, thank you that I'm alive right now. I am not producing my thoughts, my life. I'm incapable of having a good thought. I'm incapable of anything. Doesn't it make sense when David then screams out in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create. Does it make sense now? Because the only way it's going to happen is got to do what? Say it. Create it. Create. Bara is the Hebrew word. The very same Hebrew word is found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. God created the heavens and the earth. It's the very same Hebrew word. Bara. Psalm 51:10. Lord, create in me a clean heart. It's acknowledging what? I'm clay. If it's going to happen, I need a creator. I need a potter. I don't say, I just got to quit thinking like this. What's wrong? I got to get more disciplined this year. I got to come up with some better New Year's resolutions. I was into it for like 10 days and I broke them. Last year it was like 3 days. I'm getting better. You can't boast. Who agrees? You have no right to boast of anything. It is all of Him. Look at the verses on this. Look at this. Psalm 100 verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is what? Say it. God, it is He who has what? Made us will, thoughts, words, actions, and not we ourselves. Does this take it to another level for you? It is what? He who has what? Made. And that means created. He created you. Everything about you. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding how many things? Say it with me out loud. All things. Say it again. All things. By what? By the Word. Who is it? This is Christ. Christ is speaking this into existence, holding it together. It's all on the power of Christ. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Romans 9:20, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God with the thing formed? Say to Him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power, that's the authority, the right over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Isaiah 45:9, woe to him who strives with his what? Maker. You have a maker. You have a maker. Let the potsherd, that means little pot pieces, little fragments of a pot, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth, like other little pieces, broken little fragments. Let them argue with the other stuff. Should the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? In other words, what? Nothing's made me. I did it myself. The potter has no hands. Didn't make me. Isaiah 45:10. Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Isn't this beautiful? Isn't it just so awesome? Look at this. Come back to your paper where it talks about on page four, everyone's moment by moment existence is sustained by God's sovereign will alone. Daniel 5:23. Everybody with me? Daniel 5:23. And the God who holds your breath in His hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Psalm 36:6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. He's preserving you right this moment. Psalm 66:9. Who keeps our soul among the living. Ready? I'm alive. Right this second. I'm alive. I live. Only because God wills it so. I have nothing to do with willing myself to stay alive. Who agrees with that? Nothing. Life is so precious because as you're alive, you have this moment to do what? Worship. Praise. Adore. When the Holy Spirit illuminates your mind into maturity, guess what you want to do? Debbie, we've got to praise God. The men will want to lead their wives. Let's get on our knees. Let's cut the TV off. Let's open the Word. Let's praise. Let's adore Him right now. Let's not a day pass. Look at the sun. Look at all this. It's gifts. It's worship. Let's go to the beach. Let's go and stand and look at His ocean. Let's get on our knees together. And let's praise Him. Worship Him. God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I adore you. I praise you. Honey, let me lead you. Get on our knees and lift our hands to the heavens. This is the outcome of this doctrine. People tell me if you teach this, this is evil. Predestination, the sovereignty of God, this will make you an evil person. The Bible says the very opposite. This will turn you into one who constantly, continuously, and recognizes every moment is from God, so every moment is to be an occasion to praise, constant, continuous praise of Him. Who agrees? No other doctrine does it. This is a gateway to holiness and humility. This is the gateway. For maturing your mind. David says in Psalms 119 about enlarging the mind. The Holy Spirit wants to enlarge your mind. How do you enlarge your mind? Study about God. And what's the subject that David is always talking about and loves this subject? What's the subject? The sovereignty of God. He's sovereign. Over what? My sin, my sanity, my thoughts, my words, my deeds. everyone that said something to me. When Shimei in 2 Samuel 16:10, when Shimei came and started cursing David, how did he handle it? What gave him peace in the midst of Shimei coming and cursing him? What was the thing that kept his mind sane in the midst of it, rather than being puffed up in pride? Well, I'm the king! Abishai said to him, his right-hand captain of the guards, he said, let me go over and take my sword and cut his head off. He's cursing you, David. Let me kill him. A man of pride would have said what? Yes! But David knew one doctrine. What did he know? Turn with me in your Bible, 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 16 and verse 9. Samuel 16, pick it up, the context, look at verse 7, 2 Samuel, near the beginning of your Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then you come into Joshua, then Judges, come to 1 Samuel, and then 2 Samuel 16. Pick up with the context. Look at this. 2 Samuel 16, look at verse 7. Raise your hand when you got it, please. 2 Samuel 16, 7. Also, Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out! Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue! He hated David, cursing him, kicking up dust as he was going by. All these are just signs of rebellion. Guess what it meant? That, capital punishment. Go kill him. They'd been totally justified in what Abishai was saying. Go cut his head off. Look at verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord with the king? Can you just hear the desire to kill him? I mean, blood, this was running red through his veins to cut his head off. Please, David. Oh, please. Let me lop this head off of my sword. Oh, please. Please let me go over and take off his head. Oh, it will give me such pleasure. How does David respond? What's his lens? What's the lens through which David is looking at the event? Please say it with me. The sovereignty of God. What does David know? There's no such thing as what? An accident. Chance. He's just thinking these thoughts up independent of God. This is a person that's exercising his free will. David knew better than this. Amen? Watch what he says. But the king said, a lesson in sovereignty to Abishai. What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? What's he starting off? With a scathing rebuke for not knowing what? Sovereignty! You knuckleheads! You been asleep in the Bible classes? What's wrong with you guys? So let him curse! I can imagine Abishai's like this. Let him curse! What's... Give me some logic, David. I gotta hear some logic. Come on, David. What's he say? So let him curse. That gives him a cause. A reason. Because he has free will. Is that what it says? Because he's an independent, free willy. Does it say that? What's it say? Because the Lord has said to him, what you got from God? Say it with me. A command from God. That's my clay. Obey. Start cursing. Guess what the clay does? Clay doesn't know why it's cursing. It just starts cursing. Because it can't do anything other than curse. That's its purpose. It's a curse. It's going to curse. God's, I'm nipping the hands on the clay. The Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, watch this,
Why has he done so? No, there's no why. Haven't you got the integration point? Love what John Collier says, the integration point of all reality is the sovereignty of God. Why are we asking why? He continues, and David said to Abishai and his servants, see how my son, that's Absalom, who came from my own body, seeks my life? How much more now may this Benjamite? There again, it's logic. He's arguing from the greater to the lesser. He's using what? Logical arguments. David was a thinking man. Amen? He's giving him what? Reasons why I am acting and thinking and speaking the way I'm speaking. Because he knows what? David knows my son wants to kill me. God ordered that as well. All the days ordained for me. What's he said? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has permitted it. Does it say permit? No. God doesn't permit. God can't permit. It's impossible. There's no such thing as permission. Permission can only be granted to an independent force. If you have two independent beings, no, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. That's okay, you go ahead. I'll permit you. No, you go. You go first. No, you go first. Okay, I'll go first. No, I'll go first. Two independent beings can talk like this. But since there's no independent beings except one, God, we're dependent. Watch this. Look, your mind's going, right? It's dependent. It's me. Where'd you get that thought? How can you agree? God's giving me the sanity to even understand this stuff. Put things together. Sanity. He's creating all this for you. Wow, is he an awesome God? Look at this. For so, the correct version, the Lord has ordered him. It may be, David continues, that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord may repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. Watch. Can you imagine Abishai is right there with David? Sovereign God's ordained it. Put my hand on my sword. No, don't grab it. David's sovereign, no, grab it. Just kind of slip and just slip. No, God ordained it. Imagine just going with this. Can you imagine him for the rest of Abishai's life? Imagine Abishai with Christ thinking about that moment for all eternity. God was sovereign. I didn't deserve for David to tell me this. And what the response is what? Let him curse. God! God has this happening. If God doesn't want him to curse, he won't curse. God has him to curse, he's going to curse. Do you have any people that you know that, for example, are poor at listening? Do you have anybody, friends? I have a friend of mine in Tennessee. This person cannot listen. They can't. That's who they are. God's made them that way. They have no listening skills. If you talk about your children, they use it as a self-referencing springboard to go into all their children. And you can never, ever bring the conversation back. It just, raise your head. You can tell them. And their mate tells them, you don't listen. Guess what they do? What? You don't listen. Guess what they do? And they go back, God said listening. They did their mate that way. So don't get upset with the people. Your mate. I want my mate to be this way. I married you and I couldn't change you. You want him to be this way. They're not the way I would make them. But they're exactly the way God has made them, and they are that way right now because it's the will of God. Amen? And so what do you want to do? It's an occasion to say, thank you for you to be humble and you to accept as Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but say it with me, your will be done. Thank you. Look at this.
go back to our notes. Psalm 31, verse 15. My times are what? Say it. In your hand. By you, I have been upheld from what? Psalm 71, verse 6. The psalmist says, by you, I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be what? Continually of you. Why? God's sovereignty. God's the one sustaining him. Job 23:14. For he performs what is what? Say it. Appointed for me. You're living an appointed life, an ordained life. And many such things are with him. Psalm 52:2. What does David cry out? I cry out to God Most High, to God who does what? Who performs some? You sure? Not some. But do we live like some? Do we curse when things don't go our way? That shouldn't happen! Slipped and fell. I was with my grandmother in Tennessee when she slipped and fell and broke her hip. I'd never seen such pain in my entire life for an elderly person. Fell off the porch, right on that hip, crack! The bone right in that hip. Ah! It was like she was being tortured or she was being filleted alive. And she started crying out to God. The first thing she was crying out, oh God, why have you done this to me? Why, God? Why is this happening? Just writhing, rocking, and rolling in pain. Why, God? Oh, God. If you've got suffering to come in your life, what can you say? God willed it. Right? It's to humble us. To make us get on our knees. To get out of ourselves. Think about Him, not my will be done. Let Him do to me what seems good to Him. Please say it with me. Let Him do to me what seems good to Him. 2 Samuel 15:26. That's David speaking. What does David say? 2 Samuel 15:26. Let him do to me what seems good to him. Is that sanity? There's no other place for sanity. Moment by moment sanity. Look at this. Psalm 138 verse 8. Another one from David. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Who's doing it? You? Your free will? Where's your will involved in that? Please tell me. Please talk to me. I'm missing it. I don't see it. Please, blasphemer, help me. Please, free-willing blasphemer, I'm missing it. I don't see. I don't see it in here. I'm sorry, that's not in my Bible. Acts 17:28. For in Him we what? We live and what? And move and what? Have our being. Moment by moment. God's sovereign will rules over the life and death of all of His creatures. Chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Are not one of them, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's permission? Did I miss it? Oh, I was reading the free will version. Has nothing to do with what? The will of the creature. It's always what? Every sparrow that falls. You ever see a bird on the side of the road, dead? And what do you say? God ordained the death of that bird. God did it. It's all ordained by God. Psalm 104:27. These all wait for you, that's His creatures, that you may give them their food in due season. Verse 28, what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Acts 17:25, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to what? All, life, breath, and how many things? All things. Everything that happens concerning all conditions of the weather are all from the eternal fixity of God's sovereign eternal plan. If there is a horrific disaster, it is from the what? Sovereign hand of God. If a hurricane comes in this year, like Andrew, and wipes us all out. Where'd that come from? Was it an accident? Was it specifically how things were destroyed? Was it specifically, personally, blown apart that way? Every little bitty fragment, every little bitty piece of wood, asbestos, everywhere is splattered out. Is it down to that kind of detail? Most definitely. Every bit of it, all of it, is willed by Him. Ecclesiastes 7:14, the day of prosperity be joyful, but the day of adversity consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. Jonah 1:4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Who did it? God did. Psalm 135 verse 5, for I know the Lord is great, and our God is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and in earth, and the seas, in all deep places, He, say it with me, causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of His treasuries. Job 36, verse 32. He covers His hands with lightning and, say it with me, commands it to strike. Listen to this. That commands it to strike. And the Hebrew, guess what it says in the Hebrew? Ready? Commands it to strike its mark. Write that down in your notes. That's what it is in the Hebrew. It's really into the sovereignty of God in the Hebrew. Commands it to strike its mark. In other words, the lightning isn't just like God doesn't say, okay, just go out. Go. He goes like this. See that lightning? There's a little boy who's 6 years old. Okay. There he is. God has the lightning bolt. The lightning bolt's going to go according to His command. See the little boy right there? There he is. I want him to be home with me. My mark is this little boy by the name of James. James, 6 years old. Lightning. My cousin in Tennessee, in Corpus, Tennessee, she had two boys. God gave her two boys. Opened her womb for two boys. The first boy was the eldest, James, 6 years old. She's in the car. She had the baby in her arms, turned the car off, said to James, honey, run the house. Go run the house. And James looked back to his mommy and says, No, Mommy. It's lightning. The lightning will strike me and kill me. Honey, the lightning's not going to strike you. Just run quick. Run in there. Yes, Mommy. Open the door. He ran. God said, kill him! Bang! Killed him instantly. That was not an accident. According to Scripture in Job, the lightning found its mark. It was my cousin James. God says, I want him with me now. I want his soul. It's my soul. I created that soul. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord made all things for Himself. Made James for Himself. Time for James to come home. Blew his shoes off of him, killed him instantly. The mother ran out to the car, picked that dead body up with the other child, went to the house, instantly called her dad and told her dad what happened. My uncle, Uncle Celis. They thought they should be totally fragmented. They'll be over with. Their mind is, she might go insane over this, watching him. Killed in front of her eyes. You know what she said to my uncle? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She was raised in a church just like this, who believed in the absolute sovereignty of God. God prepared her mind to take that child. That child was on loan, did not belong to me, it belonged to Christ. And he said, I want that child to be with me in heaven. I want him there in heaven. It continues. After that, she could not get pregnant anymore. The doctor said, you cannot be pregnant. God closed her womb. Why? She started praying. For 4 years, my cousin Betty prayed, asking God. It got to the time where her and her husband thought, God's not opened my womb. They went to adopt a child, and guess what? God miraculously opened the womb of her. And guess what he gave her? A son. And guess what that son is today? He is named William, and he's a preacher of the sovereignty of God. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, but the Lord gave back. And she praised the living God for that. What a story. Amen? Look at this. He commands it to what? Say it. Strike its what? Mark. Exactly. No accidents even with the what? Not capricious happenings. Psalm 148 verse 8. Fire and hail. Snow and clouds. Stormy wind. Say it with me out loud. Fulfilling His Word. Psalm 147:15. He sends out His command to the earth. His Word runs what? Very swiftly. That's the Word of Christ. Running over what? All of it. Creating it. Sustaining it. Ordaining it. All under Him. Can you see this in heaven? Look at this. You ever been to a huge Philharmonic orchestra and watch the maestro in front there with his baton, and he's all the stuff at the crescendo and all the horns and the strings and the drums and percussions. Boom, as he moves his hand, they respond to all this. Can you see the king on his throne? There he is in the whole universe. There he is ordering it. It's doing exactly what he wants to do for his glory. So magnificent. So awesome. We have a lot